Turning in our Bibles, please, to the Old Testament, to the book of 2 Kings, or 1 Kings, sorry, 1 Kings chapter 2, 1 Kings chapter 2 and the verse 1. And we're going to read the first 10 verses of the passage this evening, 1 Kings chapter 2 and the verse 1. I hope I get that out of my head, because now it's in there, I might say it the whole way through the message. But nonetheless, it's 1 Kings chapter 2 and the verse 1. And the word of God says, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments, and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab the son of Zeruiah did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the hosts of Israel, unto Abner the son of Ner, and unto Amasa the son of Jether, whom he slew, and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and in his shoes that were on his feet. Do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his hoar head go down to the grave in peace. But show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at thy table. For so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother. And behold, thou hast with thee Shimei the son of Gera, a Benjamite of Bahurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Manahim. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now therefore hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him. But his hoar head bring thou down to the grave with blood. So David slept with his fathers, and was buried in the city of David." Amen. We'll finish at verse 10, and we know, of course, God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts this evening. Do you know, if I was to take a text this evening or a thought out of this passage, it would be those words at the start of verse 2, where David says to Solomon, I go the way of all the earth. I go the way of all the earth. We've come this evening, I suppose, in the church to the last gospel meeting of another year. It's my first full year here. I've been here right through, I've been able to preach right through a year, and now we've come to the conclusion of another year. 12 months have come and they've gone. There's been many challenges in those 12 months for all of us. Another year of almost constant media focus upon a pandemic, a full year with some level of restriction in place, challenges in so many different ways and in so many different fronts, things that have challenged our hearts. Things that have challenged our faith, things that have challenged our testimony, I suppose, in some ways. It's been a year that's been very different from any other year. We haven't had a full year where it has been just like this. Yes, the previous year, maybe a good percentage of it was, but 2021 has been a full year just like that. But as I think about the year that has gone past, one thing is the same. The year started on the 1st of January, and we're now at the 26th of December. The year has come and the year has gone. Time has still passed, even in the middle of everything that has gone on. This short passage that we've read this evening, almost at the beginning of 1 Kings, records for us the final words of King David to his son, to his heir and successor, Solomon. These are the deathbed words of David. Perhaps you can picture the scene here as he's looking and he's coming to the end of this period of time. He's coming to the end of his life. You can see this old king, a great king in so many ways. The one who had been particularly chosen by God, the one who had received the promise of God that the Messiah would come from his line, that the Messiah would sit upon his throne. This old man, who we know as the shepherd, and who we know as the battle king, and we know so many stories about him. But here we have David on his deathbed. Time has passed. David is dying. And the words that he uses to describe it are very pertinent. He says, I go the way of all the earth. He tells David here that he knows that his days are short. Or he tells Solomon he knows his days are short, and he sends for Solomon, his son. He asks Solomon, who by now is effectively the king, he asks him to come and to see him. And it tells us in verse 1 that he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. David perhaps has been lying on this, on his bed, and he's been had plenty of time to think, and he's been thinking back over many circumstances. He's been thinking back over the years, the decisions that he's made, the choices that he's made. Perhaps he's reflected upon the mistakes that he's made in life. He's reflected upon the times that he's gotten things wrong in life. He's reflected upon the times that he disobeyed the Lord. And we're all like David. We've all done that. But in his final words to Solomon, I think we can see that in his heart, David wants to honor the Lord. And he wants Solomon to honor the Lord. Solomon, and as we read in chapter 1, we didn't have the time to read it this evening, but in chapter 1, Solomon is essentially already on the throne. He's been anointed by Zadok the priest and by Nathan the prophet. David has given them direct instruction to anoint Solomon. So Solomon effectively has taken the throne. But yet Solomon hasn't forgotten about his father. When David here sends for him, Solomon doesn't say, well, I'm too busy. I'm the king. I have all these decisions to make. I have all these places to be and people to meet and all the rest of it. He takes time and he comes to hear his father's words. See, the words of David were important to Solomon. Solomon was seeking to be faithful. He was seeking to be a faithful king. And therefore, as his father is on his deathbed, he's come to that place and he's seated at the deathbed and he's listening to the counsel of his father David. And these are the words of David to Solomon, the words that we've read this evening. And they're important words for us tonight as we think once again about the gospel. There's only two things I want us to see this evening when we think about this. I want you to see, first of all, David knew that he had an appointment to keep. He says, I go the way of all the earth. He had an appointment to keep. He was under no illusions regarding the certainty that life ultimately and eventually comes to an end. And David had lived a full life. I would put it to you that there's not one of us who lived as full a life or have lived as full a life as what David lived. He did many things. He won many battles. And in the vast majority of his life, he served the Lord. This was the boy who had gone out when the armies of Israel were afraid of the giant. And he had gone out and faced Goliath while just a young shepherd boy with a sling and 5 smooth stones. This was a man who had seen that downfall. Now, as he's come to the end of his life, as he's an old man, in fact, back at chapter 1 and verse 1, it tells us that he was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. He was feeling his age. Maybe you're the same tonight. Maybe you're listening and you're feeling your age. Maybe you're listening and you're thinking to yourself, you know, I can't do the things I used to do. I just don't have the energy I used to have. I can't get up and go the way that it used to be. Why is that? It's because time has gone by. It's because age has taken its effect. Year after year, time slips away. And for David, time had gone by. And as it slipped away as but a moment. And now he's lying on his deathbed and he's facing death and he knows that he's facing death. He knows that his days on earth are short. So the Bible has much to say about the brevity of life. So much to say. Over in Psalm 90 in verse 9, we read the Psalm of Moses. And Moses says in verse 9 of Psalm 90, he says, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told, just like a story. It literally, the word that's translated there is tale. It literally speaks about a meditation or a thought. It's just a thought that passes so quickly. That's what Moses said about life. Our years are just like a meditation, just like a thought, just passing by in a moment. James 4 and 14, we find those words that tell us, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Whenever I think about that, I always think about a boiled kettle. You know how the steam comes out of the boiled kettle and then it just vanishes so quickly. That's the picture. That's how quickly life can pass by. That's how quickly time passes. And the very words that David uses here in this verse where he says, I go the way of all the earth, were also used by Joshua. In Joshua 23 and verse 14, he says, behold, I am going the way of all the earth. And here's the truth of it all, folks, tonight. Here's the fact that we see here, that we journey through life. But there is always the reality of death ahead at some fixed point in time. For all of us. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter your background. Doesn't matter how much you seek to look after yourself. Death is a fixed reality. And we don't know when that fixed time is. Only the Lord knows. But each one of us, as Ecclesiastes tells us, there's a time to be born. And there's a time to die. The Bible tells us that this is a reality that we must all face. In Hebrews 9 and 27, it says, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, there's an after death. David knew that he was coming to the end of his life. He knew that he was coming to the end of his life because age had taken its hold upon him. He knew that death was coming. And now as he's lying there on his deathbed, he's able to speak to his son Solomon. He calls for him. He charges him. And David speaks with clarity of mind. He speaks with contentment. And why can he do that? As you read the words of David to Solomon, particularly verse 3 and verse 4, see there what David says. He's speaking as a man who's content. And he's speaking as a man who's content because of one thing and one thing only. He's trusting in the Lord. That's where his contentment comes from. His trust and his hope is in his God. What about you tonight? If you were to enter eternity tonight, if this was your reality, if you were to step out into eternity, and as I've said, there's a fixed appointment, and none of us know when it might be, but if this was your reality tonight, where would you be? If this was your reality tonight, would you have a contentment in your heart, the same contentment that David has, because you're in a right relationship with God? The Bible makes it clear to us that David was trusting in the Lord. His hope was in God. What's your hope in tonight? What are you hoping in? What are you trusting in? If death was to call for you, are you trusting in your own efforts? Are you trusting in the hope that none of this might be real at all? Some people go through the motions of it and they hope that it's not real at all. Maybe you're trusting in your own good works. Maybe you're trusting in your riches. Maybe you're trusting in your background. Maybe you're trusting in your family. People trust in so many different things, but your hope has to be in God. Maybe you've sat in gospel meetings and you've heard the message of the gospel. You've heard about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ went to that cross of Calvary. And there upon that cross he suffered. There he bled and died, and he did it for sinners. He did it for you. Maybe you have sat and listened to that message week after week after week, and you've heard it so many times you could preach it to someone else. And I know that there's people like that, that you know the gospel and you know it so well in your head that you could preach the gospel probably better than me. And yet the reality is that you've never trusted in Christ. You've never come and put your trust in the Savior, and your sin separates you from God. If that's you tonight, what if this was your last night on earth? What if you had your eternal appointment tonight? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever contemplated the fact that that there is this appointment to keep. But not only did David speak to Solomon about an appointment to keep, David had instructions to leave. Look at verse 3 of the chapter. It says, "And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself." Now remember who David's speaking to here. He's speaking to his son, but his son is the king. This is the commission that he gives to his son as the next king of Israel. But while it's a commission that's given to the next king, it's also very much words from the heart, words of instruction coming from a father who loves his son. David loves Solomon, and he has words of instruction for him regarding the future, regarding how he ought to conduct himself, regarding how he ought to live. And we could sum up his instruction under three headings this evening. We could see, first of all, that he instructs Solomon to follow the Lord. Then he says to Solomon, obey his word. And he says, if you follow his word, or follow the Lord and obey his word, you will know his blessing. That's how simple it is. Follow the Lord, obey his word, and know his blessing. Follow the Lord. What does he say? He says, keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways. God has given very clear instruction in his word. He had given very clear instruction to David, and subsequently then to Solomon through his prophets, regarding how life ought to be lived. And how life ought to be lived, it required faithfulness to God. It required obedience to God. It required following the Lord. But not only did he say to follow the Lord, he said to obey his word. He said keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies. And there were many things, and there are many things that needed to be heeded and obeyed in the law of Moses, which is what David speaks about in verse 3, as it is written in the law of Moses. Now he was giving instruction here to the king. And he was instructing him to ensure that the law of God would be maintained, it would be upheld in the land. After David died, he wanted Solomon to continue to maintain these testimonies and to ensure that the word of God was followed, to ensure that sacrifices would be offered in accordance with the word of God. So what he's really saying is, Solomon, follow the Lord, obey his word, be obedient to what he wants. And then he says that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest. Really, in that little statement, David was saying to Solomon, them that honor me, I will honor. And that's the word of Samuel in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30. Them that honor me, I will honor. Now this was faithful instruction that David was giving to his son. It was faithful instruction that was coming from a man who had lived it out largely in his life, but from a man who was facing eternity. A man who sought to live for God. He had sought to honor God in his life. He had sought to be faithful to God, to glorify God. But whenever we think about this, and we think about how David, as he lies on his deathbed, this is the commission that he wants to give to his son, we can take this instruction that he gives to Solomon, and we can see a gospel application in the words that are used. Because David says here, walk in his ways. Walk in his ways. Now, what does the Lord Jesus Christ say about himself in John 14 and verse 6? We know it so well. He says, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way. You need to walk in the way. You need to know the way. You need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, because the Bible tells us that we're born as sinners. And when we consider what the Bible tells us about sin, when it reveals to us this fact that we're all born as sinners, it reveals to us the truth that sin separates man from God, then there's only one way for sin to be dealt with, and it's God's way. And you need to walk in His way. You need to walk according to the way that God has established to deal with your sin. And that's by coming and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way of salvation. There's a little children's chorus and it puts it so well. It says, one way God said to get to heaven, Jesus is the only way. You need to walk in his ways. But then we think about how David has said to Solomon to obey his word. And David told Solomon this, and while it was important that Solomon understood what David was saying, it's also hugely important for us to understand in terms of the gospel message. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one who bids us to come. He tells us to come to him. He declares time and time again, using different examples in the Gospels, that he is the Savior. He used the example of living water. And what does he say? He says, drink. There's a command there. Him that cometh to me. He used the example of bread, and he tells us to eat. He described himself as a good shepherd, and he said that the sheep are to follow him. When he called himself the good shepherd, he tells us what he's going to do in order to save sinners. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He died for sinners. He died for you. But you see, whenever Jesus is using all of those descriptions about himself, each time there's an imperative upon us to obey his word. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. There's an imperative to obey what he says. You have to come and come through the door. You have to follow the shepherd. Do we grasp the truth of this? Maybe this evening you've heard this time and time again. Do you really understand it? Is it so simple to you that you don't accept it? It is the gospel. Whether it's so simple to you that you don't accept it or not, it's still the truth of the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ died so that you might live. And the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to come unto him. He calls you tonight to come unto him, wherever you might be. Whether you're here, whether you're at home. Maybe you're sitting at home on your own tonight. Maybe there's no one else with you. And maybe you're feeling lonely. The Lord Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He tells us to come to him. David told Solomon to follow the Lord. David told Solomon to obey his word. And David then spoke about how if you do that, you'll know the blessing of God. And it's only through trusting in Jesus Christ, it's only through knowing Christ as our Savior, that we will know, that you will know, eternal blessing. He blesses those. He gives to those who trust in him. He gives eternal life. That's more than the world can offer. As David lay on his deathbed saying, I go the way of all the earth, the world had nothing for him then. The world had no answers to David's situation. He was going the way of all the earth. He was going to die. And in verse 10, it tells us, so David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. David died. The Lord Jesus Christ promises greater than this, because the Lord Jesus Christ promises eternal life. He says, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. This is the greatest blessing. The greatest blessing that any of us can ever have. And we get so caught up with life, and we get so caught up with the things of life, and we get so caught up with all of the material things that catch our eye and hold our attention. And yet the reality is that all of those things, if we were to take them all and put them in a big pile and say those are all of ours, it's nothing compared to what Christ offers. Nothing. He offers eternal life. He offers a home in heaven. He offers eternal security. He says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Christ has died tonight so that we might live. He has secured our salvation, and we cannot fall out of that. He has promised that he'll not cast us out. He's promised that we will be with him eternally, and that is the greatest blessing that we can have. Is he your Savior tonight? Do you know him as your Savior? The Lord Jesus left heaven, and he went to that cross of sin and shame, and he did it for you. And he's paid the price. He paid so that you can go free. Why would you reject him? What is it about this life that holds on to you? Because whatever it is in this life that holds on to you, there's coming a day when, just like David, you will be at that place where you're going the way of all the earth. And all of those things you're holding on to, all of those things that you're grasping after, all of those things that you think are so important now, they mean nothing then. They're gone. But if you haven't trusted in Christ, you've lost everything. It's an eternal separation from God in the place the Bible calls hell. Do you know, if I was to sum up everything that we have thought about tonight, looking at what David has said to Solomon, I could sum it up in 6 words. Life is short. Trust in God. That's really what David said to Solomon. And that's what I would say to you tonight if you don't know Christ as your Savior. Life is short. Trust in God.